Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the vlogcast. A vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast was started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook kept telling me, we don't care if what we post is wrong, we're just having fun. That's not what we want you to be talking about. That's not what Facebook is for. Part of the reason for doing this was also because of the old adage of sometimes the journey is far more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the web. If you'd like to contact me and the group, you can send emails over to shujintribble@gmail.com. Be more than happy to answer stuff for you guys. I was born to a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and am an unabashed atheist. Joining us on the round table tonight is Dallin.
Good evening, folks. On the net, I go by the handle of Dallin. Born and raised in a Lutheran household with a bit of a twist in that, my parents always encouraged me to keep an open mind and never stop learning and especially never stop asking questions. Religion was never a big thing in my household other than just a way to get together as a community. As I set out on my own journey of life, I let religion slip pretty much by the wayside, simply referring it as part of my past. I didn't really start wanting to raise my voice against so-called organized religion until I started seeing what fundamentalism was doing to my friends south of the border. And that was when I realized that even though I'm here in Canada, and even though that American politics do not always directly affect what happens in my own country, it was time to take up arms and pick a side. And I believe I'm on the right one.
Also joining us tonight is Unrenowned Tech.
Hey, folks. Remember me? Yeah, I'm back. couldn't help it. Anyway, born in Maryland, reside in Maryland, raised in New York, so I'm confused. No, just kidding. I'm not. I know exactly what I am. I am a free thinker and a humanist. I actually believe in a little bit of transhumanism. I think it's a good idea to better ourselves through our advances. I do believe we should take some precautions and limits, but that's just my two cents. For a while there, I was Jewish, I was a born-again Christian, and now I've realized, I'm better than that. I'm definitely better than having blind faith in something that can't be proved, can never be proved. Well, has yet to be proved would probably be a better statement. And considering how many years some of these things have been around for, and they still can't do it, I'm betting it's not going to happen anytime soon. But if it does happen in my lifetime, I'm open to the topic of conversation about it. I am not completely closed-minded. So with all that being said, I am an atheist in terms that there has been no credible proof, no tangible proof, that is suitable to make me believe in a deity, one, let alone many, of any kind.
And also joining us, surprisingly enough, a little bit, Joe.
Evening, folks. Go by the name Joseph Murray on air, Joseph Cox. I was born Roman Catholic in Chicago. I am currently out of Pittsburgh. I am in the Dayton, Ohio area for a bit of a family emergency, which may be talked about later. We'll see. Long story short, 8-year military veteran, and despite all the proselytizing that I've had to put up with the last couple of days, still an atheist.
There you go. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see what we can talk about stuff. It is July 20th, 2014, and this is episode, now batting, Jackie Robinson. and we're going to be talking about Mawedge. And not exactly from the standpoint that people would have otherwise been thinking that we would. What kind of brought this on was a little bit of the domino effect, if you will, of various other states here in the United States finally coming back with bans on same-sex marriage are unconstitutional, so you got to do it. But that's not actually what we're going to end up talking about. We're going to be talking about the actual ins and outs of marriage, what it's like in the relationships, as well as what to expect and how to deal with it all. However, before we get to that, as usual, I do have a little something that I want to talk about. Now, we've talked on many an occasion about No Illusions and Heath Enright over there at The Scathing Atheist, and they have a diatribe that they do every week, which, if you want to help their show, you can go ahead and you can get the ebook for diatribes and just look that up on The Scathing Atheist. It's a fun read.
Mm-hmm.
However, in my particular case, I don't write stuff out. I simply don't. I don't have the time and effort, and I don't feel it when I do. So the stuff that I end up talking about is basically off the top of my head once I've got the idea in it as far as to what to deal with. So if it seems like I don't exactly have it as polished as Noah does, tough. A couple of days ago...
Script? What's the script?
A couple of days ago, I was out running deliveries for the group that I work at. Now, of course, the name will remain nameless for the time being because that is immaterial. However, going past the Buffalo Niagara International Airport, I did see something that was very unusual. It was one of those large delivery van kind of looking things. And it was basically white, similar to the one that I drive for my deliveries. But it was a little bit on the weird side because it had all kinds of markings and whatnot, and it looked like it could have been a rolling advertisement, basically, for a Halloween store. Now, of course, it's a little bit early for that, but I thought to myself, well, maybe some of the groups are starting a little bit early. Wouldn't be surprising. It might be annoying, but let's see what it is. So as I get closer and closer, I'm finally able to see on the backside of it, there is a website on there, which, okay, pretty cool. Fortunately, it was small enough, and I was at a red light, so I was able to write it down for myself on a piece of paper. And I finally pulled it up after I got home from work. And the website is whatisthe99.com. So I'm going to give a couple of you people who want to take a look at this and see what we're talking about an opportunity. Whatisthe99.com apparently takes its idea that there is some statistic that says every day 99 kids, and by kids, we're talking about teenagers, end up dying from a preventable cause. And what this group is supposed to do is to try to basically inform kids, scare kids, into realizing that even the little things that they do have long-range implications. For instance, one of the displays that this group has put on is for a recreated automobile accident with fake blood and fake cadavers and all that stuff, with the idea that if you drive impaired or if you are distracted or if you're texting while driving, you're basically operating a one-ton rolling missile on the ground, and you will do damage or destroy something or someone. Now, I'm all for making sure that kids understand the implications of what they're potentially going to end up doing. I mean, let's face it, kids, teenagers especially, simply don't have the life experience to understand all of the ramifications of what they do. However, I got to looking a little bit further about this because looking over the website and the testimonials, something didn't seem quite right to me. So I went looking for a couple of pieces of information, and one of the things I remembered was something called Scared Straight, which was an Academy Award-winning movie, documentary, that was broadcast on regular broadcast television also, uncut. Which means, believe it or not, on broadcast television here in the United States and in Canada, the words fuck and shit were actually broadcast. No bleep, no covered up. It was actually done because in the context, It was necessary. Now, some of you don't know what Scared Straight is. Basically, what they did was they took some kids who were very likely going to end up as lifers in prison, brought them into prison, and sat them down with some actual lifers and tried to explain to them exactly what was going to end up happening to them if they didn't change how they were doing. If they ended up in the clink as a lifer themselves, this is what they had to look forward to. And for most of the kids that were brought in, it did the job. So good for them. There are unfortunately a couple where it didn't work, but even so. So with that knowledge in my head, because I remember having seen this on television, I went looking a little bit further into whatisthe99.com, and I went looking through their testimonials. And there were no names, there were no dates, there were no places. And the glowing reports seemed missing. So in my head, something's wrong. So I went looking a little bit further. And I went looking through the, not just the testimonials, but what they said about themselves. And pieces didn't seem right. So I went looking through the news reports that were on broadcast television, one from Fox, one from NBC, both of them local affiliates. But again, something was missing, and I couldn't put my finger on it. So I saw that they had a couple of things for social media. And I went looking over onto their Twitter feed. A lot of tweets, but only one fave, and only three pictures. And the pictures were of the line queued up to get into their displays to the area that they operate. And again, something's going wrong in my head. So instead of looking at their Twitter feed, I decided that I would do the cute, skeptical thing, was to look a little bit deeper. So instead, I used the hashtag, WhatIsThe99. And I went looking, and I went looking, and I went looking, and I'm trying to figure out, there's something that's missing. There's something that's missing, because it keeps talking about all the stuff that was going on. They're opening up, they're having a good time, all the thing. And finally, finally, I found the piece that I was looking for. And it made everything into stark reality for me. The hashtag, WhatIsThe99, bundled with the hashtags for Bible study, and the hashtag for Jesus. This group is trying to use the Scared Straight ideal in conjunction with not just saving your life, not just saving somebody else's life. Excuse me. But for saving your soul, scaring people into believing in the Bible. And this group, I find positively revolting and reprehensible, and the parents of the kids that are being brought in should be, you know what, I'll say it. If you are a parent, and if you are thinking about taking one of your kids to this thing, or better yet, if you have, you are a fucking bad parent. You should have checked this place out first, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to say all the nicey-nicey stuff of the New Age Bible isn't good enough. What we need to do is to go ahead and put your kids through post-traumatic stress and then have them believe that we've got the answer to save them from all this shit.
Yeah.
And that is morally repugnant. So, if you happen to be in the Buffalo, New York region right now, which is in the, through July and August of 2014, which is now this summer, it's out here in one of the suburbs. And they're going to be going to Norman, Oklahoma, Fresno, California, Houston, Texas. If you happen to be in these areas, I highly, highly encourage you to do your own homework. Find out about these groups. Find out exactly what it is that they're doing. Maybe even buy a ticket yourself. I'm thinking about doing that, maybe tomorrow, because I've got the day off from work. Sunday is wonderful that way. But find out what these guys are doing. And if I'm right, and I'm pretty sure that I am, these are some of the most reprehensible people that I can think of right now. Because it's not a matter of that they're going to go ahead and they're going to fuck kids up the ass, like a lot that we've heard in the religious groups, but they're looking to fuck up their minds. And as we've heard before, you take the mind of the child and you take the mind of the man later. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves. But that's just one man's opinion.
I personally like the picture of the staff member holding on to the gun on their Facebook page.
Yeah, you can find them over on Facebook. Like I said, they've got Facebook, they've got a Twitter feed. Look over their webpage yourselves and see. Like I said, I'm going to see if I can check them out myself.
I would actually like to see a lot of like the cities that this tour, if you will, is going to. I would like to see a lot of the local atheist groups pull a Kentucky maneuver, like the atheists going to the Creation Museum. And I would like to see them get in there, somehow get pictures or perhaps video of what goes on inside, and tear this thing open and expose it. Like, I'm serious. Go viral with it, like they did at the Creation Museum. Get in there, get the images, and get them out there to show people what this crap is all about. And I mean they've been all sneaky and subtle with their social media and online presence. Well, guess what? When it comes to exposing shit like that, this is what people do. This is what social media does. It's a double-edged sword.
And remember, if
that's what they cover up, that means they've got something that needs to be exposed.
And don't forget, you're not just exposing it to other people that may be unaware of what's going on. You're going to be exposing it to the people who run the places. Because looking through their Facebook page, I was looking at some of the older posts, and at one of the tours, where it was active for one of the tour dates, they had their own post of one of their... it's a non-profit, so I don't know if you can say employee or not. But basically one of their people who are, I don't know if they're volunteers or what, but somebody who working under that nonprofit going, we are going to have so much fun tonight. It's like, I'm sorry, but if you're going to have a great time scaring and traumatizing children, then you need to be woken up, because it's never a good time to scare a child unless you're... child has been asked, hey, Daddy, let's go to the haunted house. You know it's going to be scary, right? Yes, it's going to be scary. That's the best part. Okay, yeah. Great.
That's the adrenaline rush scary. That's the
right. That's the skydiving scary.
Yeah.
I think we should all start a fund to see if we can get Seth Andrews to skydive.
We'll be sure to put your name on the forefront of it so that he knows who to blame when he craps himself at that.
I'll buy the adult diapers.
Fair enough. But no,
he'll be pushing you out of the plane first.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm all game for it. I just can't afford it. I'd love to do it.
But I do think back to one of Seth Andrews' talks at the Free Oklahoma Convention a couple of years back. I think it was just last year, and it was called Get Them While They're Young.
Yeah, and I heard that one too.
And one thing he talked about was something called Guts Church.
Mm-hmm.
Which follows very much the same premise as this What is the 99, but without all the cloak and dagger mysterious stuff. And to quote Seth, he actually thought it was one of the most well-produced haunted houses he'd ever seen in his life. Like, he'd actually been into it and had seen it. But the thing with the Guts Church is that they don't mess around. They state their intention. They know what their intentions are right off the bat, so you know what to expect. These guys, I'm serious. I'm pretty sure they took at least 10 pages out of the Amway playbook on how to try to hoodwink the public. And if you've ever been to an Amway sales meeting, everything I've seen on this website and all the sort of hoodwinkery they've been trying to do to cover up.
Let's call it exactly what it is. It's whitewashed.
Exactly.
Look through the testimonials. It is absolutely whitewashed.
There is so little information on their primary webpage.
Mm-hmm.
Absurd that they would expect somebody to click the donate button.
Yeah, but Tech, as I've said before, I don't know if you've ever sat in on one of these multi-level marketing meetings. Mm-hmm. There's been insurance companies I've dealt with. There have been weight loss companies I've dealt with. Amway was a big one. Okay, I sat in a room with a...
You ever hear of vector marketing?
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, I sat through that.
Yeah.
I bought into it, too.
Yeah, so like what it is like you sit there for 90 minutes of a two-hour speech, and all they talk about is money and how they're going to make it. Or actually, no.
How much money you're going to make and how quickly you're going to make it
and how easy
it is.
You know, how it improves your... Here's a segue. How it improves your marriage and all that. And then in the last 30 minutes, you finally realize that, oh, this is Amway or this is some other thing.
Multi-level marketing.
And then as you stand up to leave at the end of the lecture, you are then ambushed by the guy who got you in there saying, okay, you're going to sign up? And I actually had to, like my now ex-wife, again, here's a great lead-in, we got put into one of these things because she answered an ad for an administrative assistant position. We find
administrative assistant, for those of you who do not understand, is the current politically correct name for secretary.
Yeah. I figure with the nature of this whole show, we were going to catch enough flack for shit as it was, so I thought I'd be nice. Mm. And I'm Canadian, you know, give me a break. Fuck you.
Well, some people don't understand PC terms. I typically don't use them.
I don't understand Mac terms, but that's just me. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah, we're just religiously challenged individuals, that's all. We're spiritually challenged, right.
But anyways, the guy who helped coordinate the whole, you know, setting up of the interview, and I hope the quote showed up for that, basically ambushed us at the end of the show, at the end of the presentation, said, okay, so you're ready to go? And I'm like, we need some time to think about this. Oh, no, I need your answer now. And I, like, stood up. He's about 5'7". I'm not.
Yeah.
I stand about 6'3", and I've got about 6 inches of shoulder width on most people. I just kind of looked at him like, you're going to be getting out of my way now, sir, and I'm taking my wife with me. We never heard from them again.
Yeah, it's like it's a car dealership maneuver where they tell you that this is a great deal, how much money you're saving, everything else, and how wonderful it is, and that you're not going to find a deal anywhere else.
Yeah.
You're never going to be able to get this deal on this particular vehicle or this type of vehicle anywhere else. And then when you say, thank you, we have to go home and think about it before dropping this much money, they tell you, uh-uh, if you leave this lot, you're never getting this deal again. Bye-bye, don't come back.
Yeah.
And when you tell them... And here's the best part. When you tell them, don't come back, okay, great. That saves us on making that decision. Bye-bye. Then they have to start. Then they do one of two things. They either find a way to try to save face, which is just, you know, it's pitiful.
Oh, I know.
Or they take a hit to their numbers, and maybe, just maybe, eventually they'll learn or get fired.
Yeah, there is that.
I prefer big bill L's.
I've gotten a phone call 3 days later with an offer on a vehicle. Sadly, this was after I'd actually found a better price on a vehicle somewhere else. So, yeah, sometimes they never learn. And actually,
now, Vector Marketing wasn't that bad, though. Their big deal was they had to encourage us to invest in a demo set. So I ended up investing... I think it was like $150 on a $400 set.
Mm-hmm.
That was the employee discount, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I did make a little bit of money, a little bit, not a lot, but I was one of the more fortunate ones. And I ended up keeping the demo set. So I actually, Cutco does make a wonderful cutlery set, but the vector marketing scam system, there's got to be a better way to sell that stuff. There's got to be a better way to sell good product. You don't need to gyp kids into it.
Yeah. Now, that's something that we're going to end up touching on because mm-hmm. something tells me that there's a common thread on all this. So let's get on to the whole meat of it all.
It's a sort of thing.
Yes. As we have for the topic, we're going to be talking about, like I said, marriage. And it's not just the fact that marriage equality is happening in the United States, state after state after state, the most recent of which was Florida, I believe is the last one so far. Which, by the way,
that's what I call a hurdle.
Yes. And for that one, she's probably not going to see this one, but what the hell. Cheska, mwah. Whatever it was that you did, whatever pictures you've got of guys with goats, thank you. We really appreciate that up over here in the Northeast where, you know, we like it.
Dude, that deserves an explanation because, damn.
Okay. Let me, short answer. Somebody that I've known for several years, goes by the name Cheska. I knew her through a mutual personality, an artist of some repute over on For Affinity.
Okay.
And I'll name him off. Big Daddy Cruel. And she got in contact with me through some wiggle channels because wasn't sure what had happened and was wondering if there was some way that I could try to help find out what was going on. Big Daddy had heart problems for basically his entire life, and it just gave out one day. And she and I both understand the loss of someone close. So even though Cheska and I have never met, Chess and I are basically brother and sister in arms. And I respect her. I love her like a sister that I've never met. And I don't use the L word lightly any longer. It's exceedingly rare for me to use that word at all. But
Tribble.
Cheska, like I said, whatever you did, keep doing it. Because, you know, always good to know that my sister's out there doing her thing. Anyway, as a reintroduction for this all, I want to give everybody a little bit of background as to where we're coming from in this particular case. Now, we start off by describing ourselves from the rationality point, which is the theological angle, where we've all come up through some kind of religious background, and for the most part, we've all arrived at the same place at this point. So I'm going to reintroduce us to go along with this one. I was married to my wife. As a matter of fact, it was 21 years ago this past week. We were married for 12 years, where she unfortunately died at just shy of 35 years of age. I've been a widower for the last 9, and at this time I am still a single dad. I am still a widower, and I am still effectively single, but with a really good background. I'm going to take us back through the group. Dallin, your background on this one is?
I was married for 10 years, and on the day of my 11th anniversary, my now ex came up and said that she wanted a divorce. Thankfully, for both of us, there were no kids, there were no real finances or property to speak of. It was a clean split. What was mine was mine. What was going to be hers was hers. We had a shared debt that we had to deal with. But other than that, it was relatively clean because I was the one that was still making most of the money in our little collection. I was the one that covered most of the legal costs, which didn't amount to much. But, yeah, since then I've been a divorcee now for almost 5 years now. And, well, almost everybody here knows what happened at my last trip out to Pittsburgh. I'm now currently re-engaged.
Oh, cool. Congratulations, dude.
Yeah,
I hope everything works out for you.
Well, it was quite funny where it happened, if you'll give me the extra 2 minutes here, Shujin. We were in Pittsburgh at a place called the Church Brew Works, which we have mentioned a few times, an old Presbyterian church that had been turned into a brew pub restaurant. Good beer, good food.
And Joe is just loving it over here. I got Joe over there, man.
It was Catholic.
Oh, it was Catholic? Okay, I'd heard Catholic, I'd heard Presbyterian, and I heard Baptist.
I've talked to the guys who owned it, because I had to do the project for it for one of my classes. Right. And it was Catholic. It was a Catholic church.
Okay, cool.
Am I the only one in this group who hasn't not been there?
Most likely, because you don't like Pittsburgh.
Well, I have not either, so that's quite all right. I'm not a beer guy.
Well, anyways, we took a mutual friend of all of ours and his wife there. It was Tao. And it's not very often I've seen people with that kid in the candy store look. He had it. Like, when I hear him, look up at the church and go, this is going to be deliciously sacrilegious, I knew we'd taken him to the right place. And anyways, after several beers, I just finally got up, walked over to her, and I said, I know there's a long way to go. We have a lot of bridges still to cross before this happens, but wanted to let you know that I'll be there waiting. And then I dropped open the thing, and there is a picture. So pics, because it did happen. I just haven't posted it yet because, reasons.
Two things.
Yes, sir.
One, I just wanted to show you guys and rub it in your faces that I get to lay out while I'm doing this. And two, speaking as her former roommate of 2 years, all I can say is now, you know, God love her, or, I love her.
We hear you.
She's like a sister to me. Speaking as her former roommate of 2 years, all I can say is, she's your problem now. I'm out.
Well, not yet. We got a ways to go. And, Jill, I could stand up, lift up my shirt, and give you a sight that would make you fall off that nice, comfortable position.
No.
I could do the same thing by dropping my pants.
Not tonight.
Well, no, I still have the surgical scars and black blood and stuff like that. So
yeah, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. Mental scars are not going to be happening in tech. give us your background quick.
The longest relationship I ever had was with my son's mother, and we were together for several years before I asked her to marry me. Then we got engaged. Shortly after that, she got pregnant. And I thought it was the statistical, you know, the very small statistical chance that the anti-conception medications weren't working. You know, the pill, the patch, whatever. In this case, it was the pill. I noticed, what is it? It's 99 point something or other effective. I thought it was okay, you know, whatever. Turned out she'd actually stopped taking it on purpose.
Ooh.
Yeah. So while I was blinded, I was blinded by the concept of love, the concept of family, the concept of children, rather than being truly in love. Although I look back and I still have some feelings, although every week I learn something new from my son about her, about the way she treats my son, that feeling gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and eventually it'll turn into a little black hole. It was just bad all around. It was, it ended badly. There was a 3-year-long custody battle. I got a lot more than most guys do, but it's costing me a lot to keep it. And the cost keeps going up and up. And, to give the viewers an idea, he's with me right now. He's actually just down the hall sleeping in his bedroom. But just yesterday he asked me, he said, hey, Daddy, if I could choose, I wouldn't want to live with Mommy anymore.
Wow.
And Every time I see, every time there's a gap in between visits, one of the first few questions he asked me when we're alone is, how long until I can go see a judge and tell that judge I want to live with you, Daddy? And so, you know, we have that conversation. The earliest, based upon the current laws and, you know, how he can do things to make his life up there a little bit easier when he's with his mom. And then he usually opens up and tells me, you know, what's happening up there. So it's a case of I got pulled into something through, they say love is blind. Yeah, love is blind. If you get, I was blinded by the concept of love. I was blinded by all these various concepts and hadn't actually seen the tree for the forest. Or do I have that backwards?
The forest for the trees.
Forest for the trees.
Scratch that, reverse it.
Yep.
yeah, write that down. You know, I ended up falling in love with somebody who was very manipulative, and I had no experience dealing with somebody that was that extremely manipulative, and I ignored the warnings from family members who were used to dealing with people like that. My son and I are paying the price for it. But so that's my background. And the only positive thing that ever came out of the attorney's mouth was the fact that we had not gone from engaged to married. And that was probably one of the wisest moves, according to the attorney. And I pointed out to him, I said, well, you know, the only reason why that didn't happen is because she couldn't stop spending the money that I was making long enough for me to go get the damn rings.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Right. Joe?
Well, as far as personal experience that, you know, involves me directly in the relationship in question, I really don't have much to talk about. However, I do have some background in a number of different types of relationships from, for example, my mother's first marriage, the absolutely most horrible and violent you can figure out, to, you know, something that is as unbelievably wonderful as the marriage between my mother and my stepfather right now, which has been going on for better part of 20 years now, and how a single guy at the drop of the hat meets a woman who, you know, a single guy who always said he never wanted to, told his mother he never wanted to have kids, drops at meeting a woman with seven and decides to say, this is who I want to spend my life with.
It's amazing.
It takes a lot of work. It don't take much work to become a father, but it takes a hell of a lot to become a dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've also seen some of the most bizarre, like what I was introduced to today while sitting in the hospital waiting room, the new reality TV show, Marriage at First Sight, where they grab two couples and pretty much based on the Match.com kind of thing, without them ever meeting, get them to agree to marry one another. And, you know, their very first time meeting each other is at the altar. Yeah, that's sanctimonious.
I was just about to say, this is what they call the sanctity of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the fire and pitchfork crusaders against that kind of shit?
Well, don't forget, it's reality TV. You know, everybody
it
knows.
It also involves a man and a woman, so I guess it's okay, right?
No, what blows my mind is, you know, there's, you know, a reverend involved in the show, and that means there's some sort of religious group that's backing this.
Become a reverend online. I can go look for it right now.
Pretty much. You know, pretty much that way.
I wonder if we should do that for the show. I become a priest online. That would be a good
sign. Nope. That's going to be me.
Well, you know, if you
that's
really
going
want
to be me because I've already got the church set up.
That way you can marry him, you know, the Star Wars theme.
Yeah, there's that.
Well, oh, no. Now I have to talk about the most bizarre.
Oh, good Lord.
Wait a minute, hold on. Where did she stick the lightsaber? And where did he stick the lightsaber?
Oh, you don't know. You do not know just how close you are.
Dallin, are you okay?
You do not actually know.
She found the lightsaber harness?
No. Here's the thing. The United States government cannot legally recognize or denounce any religion whatsoever. It's not its purview.
Except Scientology.
However, this also means
Scientology for tax purposes is not a religion.
Well, trust me, that'll be another issue another time. Awesome. Go ahead, Joe.
Anyway, so during one of my change of duty stations while I was in the military, I meet a awesome guy who gets added to my team. And I noticed something strange when I look at his dog tags. And now, on my dog tags, unfortunately, it does actually say Catholic because they went by what was on my birth certificate. But where, you know, they put religious preference on there so that should you be injured terminally, shall we say, they know what kind of chaplain or at least what kind of service to give you. I noticed on his, it didn't say something that I was used to seeing, like Catholic or Protestant or Hindu or Muslim or something like that. No, it read Jedi Knight. And technically speaking, there is a Church of the Jedi Order, and the United States Army has to recognize it. Now, I was ready to laugh this one off before this fellow decided to explain a few things, such as when he got married to his wife, he did not wear a tux. He wore, and I shit you not, a $10,000 faithfully recreated, complete with torso light bright, Darth Vader costume, also with the respirator.
I thought you were going to say there for a second that he wore the Princess Leia, Slave Leia costume.
Or that she wore it? You know, that was my next question, whether she wore that.
There's not enough material on that to make it worth $10,000. I'm sorry.
Well, if it's made out of gold.
No,
she
even
did
so.
Not. She did not wear that, no. But yeah, like I said, Darth some of the most horrible, nice. The most wonderful, and the most bizarre.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a Star Wars wedding.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, before I tell you that one, the idea of being married at the altar, don't forget, stuff like this has been going on for the longest time. It's called arranged marriages. Mm. And I don't think they were any much better then as they would be now. Now, as far as to doing an atypical service, and we'll leave it at that for the moment, because there are some that are more unusual than others. For instance, for Christians, some denominations say you're not allowed to get married out of doors. It must be in some form of edifice. And some Christians get around that by erecting effectively a tent without the covering over the top. It's just the posts and the crossbeams up along the top, and it qualifies some through some thing or other, anything like that. But what my wife and I had considered doing for quite a long time was, believe it or not, renewing our vows at a Star Trek convention where I would recreate as Riker, because I've got the Van Dyke. I had longer hair at the time too. and she had incredibly long hair. Or at least she used to. And the idea was that we would basically renew our vows And she would wear a skin-colored bodysuit, and I would wear a skin-colored bodysuit, and we would do the Beta Z thing, where you're supposed to be naked in front of everybody for all of the officiants. Now, of course, you can't get naked in front of a whole bunch of people in public, but you wear a skin-colored bodysuit, and you know you can get away with it. And why?
Get a couple of fig
leaves. Because... I'm sorry?
Get a couple of fig leaves.
Not and exactly. An apple. Like, and make the ring look like an apple.
I don't talk about it. But the idea being that it would be fun. And it would be an expression of how much we enjoy each other's passions for not the right word for it exactly, but for that kind of thing. And I don't see anything wrong with that, and a number of other people wouldn't either. And I guess the first thing that we'll hit is the officiation of it all. There was a thing that came down the pike recently, I believe it was Indiana, where a ruling came down saying that you can't just have a religious, especially a Christian, officiant. Whatever group wants to do, they have to be able to do, because if there is a... If you go by the rules, the law as it's been set out so far, you would need someone who is non-religious to fake it for a Christian clergy, saying that yes, they're part of the Christian group, in order to be married in by somebody other than a city, county, state officiant, if they wanted to have something else, which I think is a wonderful thing. If you wanted to be married by somebody from the CFI, for instance, Dallin, I mean, I know that you know the guys from over there, you would be able to do that in Indiana now. Like I said, I'm pretty sure it's Indiana. Or the Jedi Order. Or the first Reformed Church of the Pasta Monster. Or whatever the hell else. It doesn't really much matter. And I think that that's a great thing. Tech, I'm going to throw it over your way for a second first. What group would you like to see as an officiant? What kind of marriage, wedding, service would you like to see that would be atypical? And while you're doing that, I'm going to take a look over at this. We got something over in the Q&A section.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to, I'm trying to...
Hassan was actually asking, it's Arabic, and he was asking, what is the theme of the show tonight?
Ah, well, thank you very much. The theme this evening is about marriage, and really the ins and outs of the relationship. Not specifically about what's been happening in different states in the United States for, you know, trying to find out a little bit more about what states are allowing same-sex, what aren't. It's got nothing to do with any of that. But just being inside of a relationship and what advice our lives can help for other people to understand and to better appreciate and to get through stuff. So, Tech, there you go. Floor is yours. What would you love to see?
Well, let me give you an idea of what I had planned originally for my son's mother and my marriage. The marriage was going to be done, performed by the Justice of the Peace. I was not proclaiming a religion at the time. She was not a practicing Catholic or Christian or whatever it was, Catholic, I believe. So there was no heavy religious affiliation. And my parents, you know, two different religions, they went through the process through a Justice of the Peace. So, you know, if it's good enough for them and it worked and it's functional and it's not mystical, why not?
Sure.
You know, so we were going to keep it really small at the house. I was going to pay the extra money to have the Justice of the Peace come out to your house, because you can actually do that. or you can save a whole bunch of money by going to them at the courthouse. So I was going to arrange for the Justice of the Peace to come out. I was also going to host. I have some culinary art skills. I was actually going to make a whole hors d'oeuvre table. And it was going to be short and sweet. It was going to be immediate family members and one or two close friends. And that was it. It was going to be really small. Everybody's going to come short in. We're going to have
cupcakes.
Yeah. Huh? Cupcakes?
Well, you said it was short and sweet.
Right. Well, I'm sadly, my downfall in cooking is baking. I'm really good at hors d'oeuvres, dinners, appetizers, salads, soups, but when it comes to desserts, I kind of suck at it. So everybody's going to be there. It was going to be suits and dresses were going to be the attire. No tuxes required. Get it there, get it done, over with, get the paperwork signed. Thank everybody for coming out. And then I was going to fly us. My mom and dad were going to watch the kids. They already knew this, the plans, because I had gotten their permission way ahead of time. I was going to take a flight out for just me and her down to the Virgin Islands. We were going to spend a whole week there, just the two of us. And then on the return trip, instead of flying back, we were going to take a cruise line up the coastline all the way back. Nice. So instead of instead of 2 weeks there and then a quick return back, we're going to get down there, lickety-split, enjoy the whole week of relaxation, sun, sand, you know that, and then a nice slow cruise right back up the coastline, no hurry to get home. So relax, prepare, and everything. So my focus wasn't so much on the marriage ceremony, but on having the focus on the honeymoon. The togetherness and everything else. And I will actually admit that, yeah, there was premarital intercourse. And with that in mind, despite all that, despite years of that, we still had, at least I still had an interest in her. I know that I didn't, even up to that point, up until the point where everything really went sour, when we went out together, I didn't go around, I didn't look at other women. I didn't really notice them in the way that I used to or that I do now that I'm single again. I don't see myself as a one-woman man because of religion or anything like that. It's just I, at the time that we were together, I had no interest in other women. So, the honeymoon probably would have been fantastic. Probably would have been a great time altogether. But as for seeing an atypical marriage that is not not representative of any political or religious affiliation, and is probably not normal if I had to go for something wild, wacky, and kind of cool looking, I'm a nerd, okay? And I know it's probably been done, but I would love to do a Dungeons and Dragons wedding. You know,
that would be fun.
But here's the thing: instead of having one of the party members captured, you've got like the Justice of the Peace captured, and you have a dungeon master who's, friends of, preferably somebody who's actually DM'd before, trying to actively make sure that you and your significant other don't get to the Justice of the Peace. You know, that there are real traps and whatnot, and you actually have to move yourself as if you were in the game itself. So there's, you take a step forward, oh, you just came across the beholder. You're lucky it's sleeping, but you've got to roll a silence check.
Oh my God.
And everybody in the crowd needs to be quiet now, you know, because there's a sleeping beholder. Meanwhile, your SO's fighting off a giant acid cube.
The question is the dragon the one that's watching the cars or the one in the white dress?
I'm the dwarf with the really big hand. They call me Gimli for a reason.
Now, my brother, who is my oldest brother, who is a professed atheist, and his current wife, well, actually, I think she's his only wife. Yes. No.
Well, I don't remember. Unless it's more than either in way, which case, it's like
right now, one. Right now, his wife is a pagan, and you know they have their differences in views, but they both agreed they did not want to make a overly religious, overly formal event. Mm-hmm. So my stepfather being, you know, I'm from a very small town, and my stepfather is a friend of the Justice of the Peace, so he agreed to come down one Sunday morning, or no, it was Saturday, come down to the backyard of my family, of my parents' house. We all got together as a family, had some friends over, and we did it right there on the driveway. And the only formal attire present was my brother, who, after 8 years, somehow managed to squeeze his not-so-fit posterior back into those Air Force dress blues. How, I don't know, but...
I would say a miracle of textile technology.
That's entirely possible. Although, look at it this way. What else could you have been expecting? Yellow spandex, maybe?
Yeah, the only...
Well, you know, if Wolverine's Amish, the yellow might be good.
There you go. Yeah, my mind went completely somewhere else.
The only wedding that I...
Running man wedding.
Oh, dude, how about a wedding where the only wedding has to wear spandex?
Moving.
All right, guys, you got to remember, Joe's got a little bit more of a delay than normal, so yeah. We're gonna have to give him a little bit more, a little bit more of an opening when it's.
I'm sorry, Joe. For him.
It's okay. It's okay. the only wedding that I personally have attended that I was formally dressed was, you know, I was in my Class A's, my Greens, while I was still in the military. Was my oldest sister's, who is my oldest sibling, was getting married to her boyfriend, and that was at the local Catholic church. not gonna talk bad about it. Yeah. I didn't burst into flames in there, so. But that was the only time that I have outside of the military where I have worn my. My dress uniform for a formal occasion. My brother, also my next oldest brother, who was in the Army, also wore his. So my sister got led up the aisle by my stepdad with what looked like two armed escorts following behind.
So long as they weren't armed.
No, I had my hat off.
There you go. All right, and just so you can have a real quick laugh about it, my brother, youngest brother, who is currently Air Force, still has been Air Force for a long time, he was wearing his dress blues, but he ended up taking off his jacket to reveal his white shirt underneath had these fringy, multicolored pink and blue and orange fluorescent sleeves with ruffles and whatnot all over them, and I've still got a picture of that somewhere, I just don't know where, but I thought you'd get a good laugh out of that one, Joe.
So he went from Top Gun to flamenco dancer with one jacket, Paul.
Yes, he did.
Surprise tango?
Pretty much.
Alrighty.
Was there spandex? Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of spandex?
No, not for him. Right, so, Dallin, let me throw it for you. For what would be like your favorite atypical that you would like to see?
Okay, maybe this is a little tropey, and I actually, while I have not seen this, I have heard of it done because it actually happened to two friends of mine. Hmm. They were at FC down in California a few years back. Wait,
you gotta have to explain FC. Sorry, is?
FC is short for Further Confusion, which is a furry con. It is one that actually several people in my province do tend to attend because it actually is relatively close as far as conventions go. Now, these two had gone down there. I'm not sure if they went down with this intention, but they are both suitors. Both have very well-made suits. They're both wolves. At that convention, they actually held what was called a fursuit wedding. So they... Now, there was no true officiating done. Like, there was no justice of the peace or whatever. It was a more of a symbolic ceremony. But they were basically married to each other in suit. So I think my ultimate idea for an atypical wedding would be at a convention to have somebody who is qualified to conduct a ceremony. And when I say qualified, I don't mean ordained, because I've seen enough Justice of the Peace weddings to know that you don't need a minister to sign the license. But there are procedures and practices you have to go through. What I would love to see would be two people married in suit and actually have it officiated by a Justice of the Peace at a convention or at some other venue to the point where they actually do sign the document. I think that would be really cool.
That would be exceptionally cool. I could... Kage would end up getting carpal tunnel from his hand just for signing everything.
You know, I'd... Well, and given the fact that that two is probably still qualified to do that kind of thing...
Ooh, good point.
I would say this is in the realm of possibility, provided you could get Kage's permission.
That's true.
If it is at a con that he is officiating.
Yes, Joe.
On a similar note, there was another convention where there had been a panel called Whose Lion Is It Anyway?
Oh, God.
Based very much so off of the TV show of a similar name. And the segment they were on was questions only, where you ask a question and then the answer from the other person has to be in the form of a question. You go back and forth until somebody can't think of a response, and so whoever stumped the other person wins. And so, you know, they did a couple of pairs up there, and this kid who I'd seen speaking to the host of the game when it started got up there with his girlfriend. And they're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until, you know, completely out of the blue for her, he turns and asks, "Will you marry me?" She's like, "Why wouldn't I?" And he's like, "Will this do?" And he drops down with the box and the ring, and she just...
Winner, winner, turkey dinner.
Yeah.
Yes,
damn.
And by the way, the answer was yes. To
which
great
means,
applause.
Well, wait, that's not that wasn't in the form of a question, though.
Well, did she lose or did she win?
I am pretty sure by that point, Alkali was probably on the ground dying.
And that is an interesting philosophical question, which we'll wait for another day to talk about. Now, there, collectively. We've had we've got a number of years between us all in relationships of some kind, whether they're short term or long term, long distance or close. In my particular case, I got lucky. I got exceedingly lucky in a lot of ways with my relationship. I had a couple that failed out, you know, back from high school, which, okay, yeah, whatever. And Fujin and I ended up about 500 miles apart from each other for the better part of 5 years? You know, getting to see each other on a long weekend, or maybe just a weekend, where I would drive 500 miles after, let's see, I would work at the bank until late close, which meant about, you know, 7, 8 o'clock, leave Long Island at about 9 o'clock at night, drive the 500 miles to get to the college Saturday morning and have breakfast and spend Saturday with her and sleep eventually, and then Sunday afternoon drive back to Long Island another 500 miles so that I could get up and go to work on Monday morning. I don't do stuff like that anymore, and there's a really good reason why. I don't need to. But there's as an example of what you were talking about earlier, Tech, about kind of being blind, I can't say is that I was blind per se, although it's admittedly it's hard to think back, 25 years now, but I would have done anything, and in some ways I have said before that there was at least one thing that happened where I would have forgiven more than that. Now, what this that happens to be is going to go with me to my eventual demise. Nobody needs to know, and to be perfectly frank, it doesn't really much matter to anybody. But while dating, while just getting together, we did a lot. And learning about each other was really interesting. And finding out that, amongst other things, and yes, the warning that I had about sex, here you go. Stuff is going to happen now. Tough. Deal with it. I was fortunate enough to find out, shock of shocks, and to many people's surprise and delight and tittering laughs and whatnot, there were times she was kinkier than me. Holy crap, blew my mind. I'm going to go backwards. Joe, with whatever relationship peoples that you've had, what has been the funniest thing that you ended up finding out about somebody that you had some kind of relationship with? Don't have to be married to
them. First off, Frank, you're far from perfect. And to answer your question, he has no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. Wheaton's rule, dude. Follow it.
Hello. It's my job. Anyway.
That's true.
Funniest thing. I would have to say the funniest thing.
Banana.
I'm drawing a blank here, actually. Oddly enough, guy my age, I still young enough to get around on his own 2 feet, I really haven't had that whole lot of experience in the matter. You know, most of my time was spent overseas. Not a lot of room for dating there.
Well, that depends on how much Victoria's Secret delivers to camels. I guess, I don't know. Good, I get the camera switched just in time to get that look.
Fuzzy.
It's retroactive, bastard. You've described that.
Yeah. Well, I suppose the funniest thing. Now, this is a relationship of mine, yes?
Sure, yeah. Or, you know what? I'll open it up a little bit further. Sure, go for it.
I would have to say the funniest. Well, the funniest thing would be, of course, Darth Vader. But as for myself, I would have to say, chick I was dating one time. She had told me about how a guy that she had previously dated. Now she was black, by the way, and a guy that she had previously dated. Went to a Halloween party with her, dressed in a white sheet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Was he trying to pull a Charlie Brown and just failed miserably, or was he trying to pull
the
other...
He was trying to be funny, up until he realized that the party he'd gone to, probably not the party he wanted to try to be funny at.
Oh, boy.
See, now, if I was picking her up, and I had a costume on underneath that, and I showed up in the white sheet, and she went, oh, my God. And I said, it's just a joke. Pulled the sheet off, showed, here I am. I'm wearing a real costume. We're good to go. That's one thing. But if you're telling me he went to the kind of party that I'm thinking about with the sheet still on, is the guy still alive?
Nope. You know what? That ain't even it. Funniest would have to be when my niece, or not my niece, my cousin, was going out for prom. And my uncle looked at her date and said, she'll be back by 11. Because at 11:01, I got a revolver here with six little guys that are going to be starting a run at 11:01, and I'm pretty sure they run faster than you.
Jeez.
That would be, and that was my Uncle Bobby, and God rest him, rest him, he's not with us anymore, but,
And when the guy showed up, yeah. Hey, guess who else is late?
Ooh.
Yeah.
You wouldn't find that one up for a few more days, wouldn't you?
At least.
Well, he got to understand one thing about us here in, out here in the sticks. We got a lot of pig around. Pig just eat everything. No evidence.
Jeez.
Takes a long time for the police to get on out this way, especially.
Sorry. You know. I'm not kidding. Joey, right there, I could close my eyes, listen to what you just said and how you just said it. You actually remind me of a person I have had numerous phone conversations with for the past 2 years. He's one of the clients that I deal with. And I was like, I'm going to get chills next time I actually talk to this guy now.
This you is, not- is that you?
Great. Now the things run through my head. Thanks so much.
Now,
sure. Real quick. Funny. What has been funny for you that just sticks out for you?
What, in my relationships or anything?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, I can't really say funny ha-ha because my married life, we had very few of those real, like, gut-busting moments. But I think in my current relationship, the funny, amazing thing is that it's been going on this long. I think a lot of people have looked at us and thought we were just absolutely crazy. I mean, it's been long distance since 2010. I mean...
Well, I certainly thought you were.
Yeah, and, you know, there might be a panel of doctors out there somewhere that would probably agree with you. There are probably panels out there that think I should be locked up.
But then I call a man dad who, up out of nowhere, decided to marry a woman with seven kids, so what do I know?
Now, I have funny for two of the shortest relationships I ever had.
Sure, go for it.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
First shortest relationship didn't get past the first date because the first date was going to be a picnic in the park. And while my profile admitted that I had a child, her profile did not. So when she showed up with six kids from three different fathers, that kind of threw me off guard, number one.
Well, wait a minute. Before you go on, real quick.
You could tell by three different ethnic groups.
No. What I wanted to say was the profile of which you speak, did it simply omit this information, or was the information incorrect?
The information was not existent. So in other words, single, and it never mentioned anything about children.
Okay.
So omitted.
The way the site worked was you could, if you had not answered a question, there was just a line indicating that the question has yet to be answered. You could also answer it where you're not, you know, one of the options was not willing to say, which indicates either, A, they have a kid, or that they don't. They're just not willing to talk about kids at this time. You know? You don't know what's going on, so you can't make an assumption.
You're right. Six suddenly just...
Well, that wasn't what really got me. What was is, you know, I was like, okay, fine, you know, whatever. But when the conversation turned that she was looking to have a couple more kids after that, that's when, you know, I said to her, I said, you know, well, I've got one child, and I think that's kind of enough for me. And she said, oh, yeah, you do have a kid, don't you? And she just had this look of, I don't know how to describe it, almost disdain on her face. I was like, you know what, I'm done. I'm out of here. And then the second shortest relationship lasted 2 days, because or 2 dates, because on the second date, the first date, a ride was provided for us, and on the second date, I provided the ride. I was able to hold the door open. And so I opened the door and everything. She goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm opening the door for you. She goes, why? I said, huh? What do you mean? She's like, why are you opening the door? That's weird. Weird? And it just went downhill that day from there. It was like, yeah, okay, wow. Never mind. Yeah.
Yeah, Joe, you
had first one, I'd have to say... Yeah, on your first one, I just have to say, ladies, it's a vagina, not a clown car.
Jeez. Oh, God, dude. Well, there goes our female viewing audience. Ladies, you can send all complaints to Joseph Cox.
Sorry!
You know what? If you're going to send them my way, shootingtribble@gmail.com. I would give you the fake email address, the fake snail mail address, but there's a joke in that, which we will, I will talk about another time. You had something else,
Joe. Send us to the Fraternal Order of Balls and Shaft.
Did I have something else?
I thought that you had a second one.
That was a second one.
No, that was it.
Okay, never mind. All right. Jesus.
Yes?
Starting relationships is never easy. So
what?
There are a lot of ways that folks will end up meeting each other one way or another. Sometimes it's through just happy circumstance. Sometimes it's through a matchup system. There's nothing wrong with any of those, so long as everybody is enjoying themselves and having a good time. It doesn't matter if you're meeting at a bar or if you're meeting on. At a Whovian convention, and you just went up to somebody randomly and just said, ooh, let me straighten your bow tie for you. Unless it's Bill Nye, in which case, just don't do that. He's married.
If it's a Whovian convention and you have to straighten the bow tie, what do they wear at the Newtonian conventions?
I'm guessing...
You actually had to think about that one.
I'm actually thinking cookie crust on either side of them, and I some people.
Oh,
you're thinking
Newtons, okay?
Did you?
No, I was thinking Isaac Newton.
Yeah, well, that's, you know what? I'm not that smart, so.
Beaker and a bow tie up against me.
Yes, if you have not yet seen the
epic rap battles,
yes, the epic rap battles of history, you really should. It wasn't one of their best, but it definitely wasn't one of their worst. So we'll talk about
that. I would love to see epic rap battles of history, the Fraggles versus the Muppets.
Well, they're starting production for season 4. Why don't you talk to them?
Yeah, there's that. Okay. So since we're coming up to, we're going to coming up onto our 90-minute point shortly, I think probably one of the things that we should do is make some kind of reference to
marriage.
What, not surprise isn't the right word for it, what we learned about marriage. Now, obviously... Joe's had wait a second. Joe has not been married. Tech has not been married, though close. Dallin was married and was divorced. I was married and was widowed. So we all come at this from different standpoints and different areas and different experiences, and that's one of the strongest points about the show, which, by the way, I know it's a little bit late in it all, but Witchy, wherever the hell you are, just hope you're safe, kid, because, you know, missing you.
Hey, Witchy.
Richie, wherever you are, vodka. Lots and lots of vodka.
There you go. The
What Shujin was trying to say earlier is that... Sorry. What Shujin was trying to say earlier is that, look, ladies, I'm single. You can have all of this.
Ladies, I'm single. Look at this beard. Just look at the beard. Mm, look at this. Look at this. Mm.
And amazingly, tonight, I think I'm the only one drinking. It has more than coffee in it.
Oh, and by the way, ladies, it only tickles for the first minute.
Wonderful.
Moving on. Shujin, please save us.
And apparently I'm not drunk enough.
No, neither am I. What I think we should really hit right now, and something tells me we're probably going to end up reopening this whole thing to talk a little bit more in-depth about stuff. I think what we should really end up with at this point is, what is it about a relationship? Doesn't necessarily need to be a long-term or marriage per se, but what we've learned that somebody should really keep in mind for themselves when they get involved to help a relationship get along. Joe, I don't know if you want to take this one first off, or if you want to take second or third at this one. Okay.
I'll take it. Because, you know, I've learned two things as far as relationships go. One is that you want to be successful, you know, learn about the other person, make sure it's somebody that you can be, that you can tolerate to be around for 5 seconds, because if you can't tolerate to be around them for that, you know, who's expecting you to last 5 years or 50 years? Second, you got to remember one important thing. That is, you know, I know everybody talks about soulmates and all this other stuff. Me, yeah, I honestly don't believe in the idea of marriage, but, you know, I respect it. The way I see it is, what you need is pretty much to be able to look at somebody and say, you are my best friend, and I want you to always be my best friend. And you gotta recognize that you're two different people. And if you want it to work out, you gotta recognize that as two different people, you're gonna have different interests every now and then. You're gonna have different matters of opinion. You can't always be 100% in agreement on everything. And, you know, every now and then, take a little time and, you know, celebrate the fact that you're two different people, because otherwise it's masturbation.
That's a good enough point. Tech, Dallin, which one of you guys wants to take at this point? I guess it's more a matter of who needs a little bit more time to think it through first.
Dallin, you want to go?
Yeah, sure, I'll take it.
All right.
Speaking from the two major relationships I've had in my life, I think I come at this from a bit of experience. Before I got married, I was married in an Anglican church, so I actually had to take a marriage prep course. I actually had to sit down with a minister and with other people and go through, quite literally, a course on how to be married.
Okay. To pause for a second, this is something that is also familiar for those who are Roman Catholic. For the Roman Catholics, it's something called precana, which is a very similar thing. You end up talking with a married couple, and they talk you through a whole bunch of stuff about marriage and whatnot. And I'm gonna actually hit on that one on my turn.
Yeah.
But going on.
Yeah, so a lot of what they talked about, you know, were the pitfalls of, you know, what's been known to kill a marriage. And one of the biggest things, of course, was money, infidelity, a lot of other things. While I won't specify exactly what caused the end of my marriage, let's just say it was in the list of things that we were told to watch out for. But again, this is not this is not a show for me to bitch about, you know, why I ended up single for so long. But what I gleaned from all of that was the one thing that they didn't tell you in the course and what I had to learn on my own. And it echoes a lot of what Joey just said. This person that you want to pursue the relationship with, be it short-term, long-term, or whatever, there has to be a foundation of common interest. Like, you don't necessarily have to have everything in common, but you have to have enough that, you know, you can live with them, you can carry on a conversation with them, you can share in mutual likes, and maybe discover things about each other that maybe you never thought of at first. That's the biggest thing I learned, and the relationship I'm in now, she and I we have a lot of the same likes, and you know, I have certain passions that she's interested in learning more about. She has a lot of things that I want to know more about. So when everything all finally comes together, I think we're off to a good start. But I would definitely say, don't marry just for sex, and sure as hell don't marry just for looks. Marry somebody that you'll be able to smile at tomorrow, the next day, the next year, the next 5 years. You know, just make sure. I guess all I can really say. Funny, it sounded okay. So much better in my head.
I will give you one reassuring thing. She is an excellent cook.
That I will heartily agree with you on.
Excellent. Deck, yours.
All right. What I've learned. Well, one of the things, and people may want to actually take notes here. I learned from the difficult method. And one, if you have no sexual experience, go out and get some. Okay? I will admit that my son's mother was the first woman I ever had intercourse with. And that was part of my downfall. Had I been experienced before I met her, I would not have been able to be as blinded as I was without the experience. So going out and getting sexual experience can be very eye-opening for both parties. You also get to know some stuff about yourself when you do that. The other thing that I would say is that don't get married. No. Instead, spend the first 3 to 5 years living under the same roof. Get to know one another. The hard part of that will probably be agreeing to either A, move into a home or apartment that's big enough for the two of you, if you don't, rather than you moving into partner A, moving into partner B's, or B moving into A. You know, do you want to go for lodging option C? That can be scary options, because it means that potentially one or both parties are going to lose their current domicile. And that can be a very scary choice. That will help you determine whether or not this is something you're ready for. Once you do make the move to live together, you will just need to decide who moves in with whom, whether or not you go to option C, and if you go to option C, whose name is on the lease or the rental or the purchase or whatever the case might be. Ideally, both. But 3 to 5 years, if you can make it past the year 3 mark, you're in running on pretty good ground. If you make it past the 4-year mark, you're way ahead of the curve. And if you make it to the 5th-year mark and you guys are still doing okay, then you have beaten the odds for most couples. And you haven't even hit the marriage part yet. Marriage's greatest benefit is in the legal aspect, tax write-offs, consent agreements when it comes to medical conditions and things like that. But the downfall of marriage is that it can be abused. And if you're somebody who's been hurt repeatedly through the whether it's through just dating or the legal system, marriage can be something very, very scary, very big commitment. Make sure you're honest with yourself and with your significant other that that's something that you're not ready to do. My outtake, with everything that's happened to me, I've had several dates and things like that and encounters and whatnot with women. None of them I would want for long term. I'm open to long-term relationships, but at this time I am not open to marriage at all. Not because of what my ex did to me, but because of what I learned by what she did to me. It opened my eyes to a lot of what's going on around us in the real world and how the systems are currently being abused. And since I have a son involved at this time, I can't risk that kind of mistake happening again. I would rather avoid the possibility of it happening again altogether. And any woman who is worth her salt will understand that, because I will explain it up front. That I can't, it's not a matter of I can't afford it in my heart. I can't afford it financially. Okay? I can't be hit. Take that kind of financial hit the way I just took from my ex, okay? And because that another financial hit like that would definitely impact my relationship with my son in terms of being able to see him, the time that I have with him, the things that we currently do together and everything else. I'm sorry, but my son's more important than a stranger that I may have a potential relationship with. That's just the way it is for me. If you can't understand that, hey, great, you know, I just weeded out another one I don't need. The other thing I would say for somebody who's entering into a relationship where marriage is possibly on the line is communication. If you can't talk about it, you're not ready for it. If you can't sit down and discuss all the options, you're not ready for it. If you can't, there's going to be a lot of things that you're not going to agree on. That's okay. People don't agree on a lot of things. That's what a disagreement is. It's a conversation about things that you don't agree upon. It's also called an argument. A true argument is not a heated debate. It's just a debate. But if the emotions start to rise and you can't step away so that everybody, both parties can cool down, and by the way, this is interpersonal communication 101 talking here. If your argument, your debate becomes heated and emotionals come into it and everybody's getting riled up, which does happen for during marriage planning and everything else, and you can't step aside and cool down, you're not emotionally ready for it yet. You're really not. You got to be able to take a step back and go, hey, look, I'm getting really frustrated. I need time to cool down. I don't know if you're getting frustrated or not, but I'm just going to go over into this other room. I'm going to go grab a soda or beer, you know, and just kind of take 5 minutes or 10 minutes and calm down. Your relationship will be happier and healthier for it if you can do that. There were many times in my relationship where she would get heated and I was remaining calm, but she could not pull herself away from the relationship, so I took the active part, once again, part of my downfall. Rather than recognizing it for what it was, I actively put the blame on myself. And I said, okay, sweetie, I'm getting kind of frustrated right now with our argument, and I don't want to make you angry. So I'm going to take a step out, and I'm going to calm down. And then can we pick up this conversation once I've calmed down so that way I don't say anything I might regret? And what I was doing is I was diffusing the situation by putting the blame on myself. And that was completely wrong of me. That was very wrong of me. I was using the tools, but I was using them the wrong way. And I think there was one more thing I wanted to say, and that was it. Yes, when you're interested in a person, be interested for who they are, not for the concept of who they are. We see people two different ways. We see the concept of the person, assumptions based upon little actions here and there, not actual proven data. And then we see them for who they are themselves rather than the allure of them. If you go into a restaurant with somebody and that person is a dick to the wait staff, they are a dick. Okay? If they're trying to get you to stop spending time with your friends, they're extremely needy. They're extremely controlling. Get out quick. They should be spending time learning to know your friends, and you should be actively spending time learning their friends too, because ideally you should all mesh together. That's it. That's pretty much the best advice I can give based upon my limited experiences and knowledge. But don't tie that knot until you guys are ready to do it. Mm-hmm. No. If you all agree that you're not ready, you know what? Take another year. Take another year. You're still going to be spending time together. You might still be living under the same roof. You might be learning what it is that you guys haven't figured out yet that hasn't made you ready, but you're still spending time together. Just because you're not married doesn't mean you can't spend time together. That's a religious thing. Don't let those religious people pervert your mind.
There was one piece, if I could dovetail onto what Tech just said.
Sure, go ahead.
About making sure that you're ready. One other mistake that I've learned, maybe not necessarily from myself, but from other friends that I've had, marriage does not repair a relationship. If you're considering marriage as a move of quasi-desperation to try to save a relationship that maybe is starting to stagnate, that is where you really, really have to stop and check yourself, because forcing yourself into a commitment of that magnitude over and above the pressure of trying to hold together what is already, let's say it, is already a failing relationship, that is just going to make things worse, and that is going to drag you through the next so many years of hell as you try to patch up what is already a sinking ship. In some cases, it might work. In other cases, it might not. But definitely don't use marriage as, like, you know, your go-to move for damage control, because you're just going to end up making not only your partner miserable, you're going to make yourself miserable. You're going to look back on that time and ask yourself, why the hell did I just waste so many years of my life? You know, I wasted time, I wasted money, I wasted energy that I could have put into a more meaningful relationship down the road. Like, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah, and that's, I did forget to mention about kids, too. If you are already married and you see things starting to sour, don't try to keep the whole thing together for the kids. It's better that the kids understand that, hey, maybe mommy and mommy, or daddy and daddy, or mommy and daddy, whatever the case might be, they were in love, but they don't love each other as much as they used to anymore, for whatever reasons. They have to understand that for some people, love is an evolving thing. It can come, it can go. For other people, it hangs around for a long time. For other people, maybe it's, you know, may love you one night, you know, and although short but true, the human capacity for love is ever changing. So if you and your SO end up falling out of love, don't hide that from the kids. They will be healthier adults if they understand that things like this happen, and it's normal, it's okay, and that they're still loved. All right? Don't hide it. And just because you fall out of love with one another, if you have kids, you don't have to necessarily file for divorce and move out right away. Okay? It is entirely possible, I've seen it, for a couple to go, okay, you know what, we don't love each other anymore. let's just get separate beds. Or some people have big enough places where they can actually get separate bedrooms. And we're still going to take care of the kids. We're still going to love the kids. But the intimacy between the two of us is over, you know, and that's kind of it. That I've seen that work. I haven't seen it very often. That takes two very mature adults for something like that to work.
Yeah.
But it's not, it is worth giving it a shot for the benefit of the kids in that respect. But if that's not something that's going to work for you, don't stay together just for the kids. You can work something out. You can sit down and talk through it and figure out a solution. Even if that solution is running the apartment next door to the one that you're in, or the house next door to the one you're in, or even one down the road and taking turns with the kids, you know. 1 week, Bobby and Danny go that way, and the next week they go the other way, you know. If it's done, it's done. Accept it. Figure things out and move on. You cling, you're going to mess things up.
Ultimately, it comes down to civility. Treating each other as best as possible under whatever the circumstance would be. For me, I'm going to echo a lot of other stuff that's been said. Item number one, you have certain circles. Circles of people, circles of interests. Somebody that you are going to share a lot of time with is going to share parts of those circles and will have sections that do not involve you. And that's okay. Learn to appreciate what you share and, in some cases, more importantly, what you don't. Item number two, communication is key. It is not just about being able to talk with someone all the time. It's about being able to communicate what you mean, which is far more important. Item number three, whoever it is that you're going to be with should be someone that you can sit with and not say a word and completely communicate how you feel just by being there. It's okay to be able to talk all the time, but somebody that you can be comfortable with being quiet with is a very special thing, too.
I would like to interrupt you real quick.
Sure.
I've met many of people who are in good relationships because of their verbal communication skills due to a lack of ability to pick up on nonverbal communications. I am one of such people. I have a terrible time picking up certain kinds of nonverbal communications. And when somebody clearly and concisely communicates with me verbally, I'm okay. That was one of the many arguments I used to have with my ex was, dear sweetheart, listen, if you're upset about something, say it. I can't tell when you make a sound effect or just make a motion with your body. I can't pick up on that. I've tried. It doesn't work for me. You know, please just tell me and we'll work through it. And there were times where she did tell me, and then there were other times that she didn't, that she was upset that I couldn't figure her out, that she was upset. So, you know, you really have to figure out, you have to identify your own abilities and make sure that your significant other understands the pros and cons of who you are and what you're capable of.
There is that.
Okay. Sorry, I just wanted to put my own failings out for the general public to see and mock and make fun of. And that's unrenown_tech on Twitter. So go ahead and mock me, people. I can take it. I've got a thick beard.
It's all right. Another piece to go with it. Learn what works for you both. And individually, in all matters that have to do with fun. And it could be a matter of just being out and around because you want to be out for a picnic. Or it could have to do all about sensuality. It could be about sex. It could be about almost anything. there are so many different things that you can experience and learn about each other, about yourselves, and as a unit. Some relationships are open to some degree or other, and that's okay. And some are closed, and some are polyamorous. And that's okay, provided everybody's on board. That's also part of the communication thing. Can't stress that one enough. And item last. No, sorry, let me back up. When you need to be there for each other, the best relationships, the strongest relationships, will overlap and will support where the other cannot or is not able to. My wife and I traded off on a lot of stuff. She did stuff better than I did other stuff better than she did, but we worked as a team. When you're in a relationship, especially in a marriage, it's a team effort. When Fuji and I had to go for Precana, and we had to speed it up a little bit because we didn't know about it ahead of time, yes, I lied to the priest so that we could get married in the church that she was baptized in, that she had her first communion in, and ultimately where she had her memorial service in. We talked with a married couple where we got out of it, and we got in the car, and we were ready to go home. And we both looked at each other, almost disbelieving. And we both said the same thing. We both agreed to the same thing. What they were describing for each other was not a relationship. It was not a cooperative piece. It was a business. She kept the books, and I don't even remember what it was that he did. But what I remember he said was, if something were to happen to his wife, he would need to remarry because he would need someone to handle the books.
Yes.
And we, as a couple who had not even been married yet, who hadn't lived together yet for even a year, we knew that we had a better relationship than they did. And that was sad. So when the chips go down and you need to be there for each other, you will know how to fill in the gaps for each other. And item last. And this is not going to make a lot of sense, but I'm going to put it there because ultimately this is something that I learned far and away more about myself and about my wife and us as a unit. And yes, it's three different pieces. Than a lot of other times. For all of you who are planning on being married, or who are already, if you want to learn a lot more about each other, about your relationship, something that you would never think to do, and it will make absolute sense once I explain it. Together, go to an adult education class, a continuing education class, on ballroom dancing. Ballroom dancing is wonderful to watch people who know what they're doing. And it is something that takes a lot of learning in the subtleties of it all. And I was completely against this at first. I was just, nah, I don't really want to. Come on, really? All right, fine, I'll humor you. And I found out something that blew my mind and that worked for our relationship. We had, and you know what? I'll put it out there anyway. Fujin and I had a dom-sub relationship in a lot of things. And it's no surprise to a lot of people. And I found out that that relationship translates very, very, very effectively into a ballroom dancing situation where the one who's leading needs to be aware of their surroundings and guide and give little subtle hints as to what you want done. how to dance, where to dance, what step, how quickly are you going to spin, which direction are you going to spin, are you going to twirl, are you going to hold on, are you going to let go, are you going to bring back? So many different pieces about it. And I did not realize just how in sync we were until in this group, of which we were in a gymnasium, and there was a dozen or so couples, and we were all doing in a circle, and we're right near the end of the classes, and the person who's holding the class stops the CD player, stops the music, and says, "Okay, everybody stay where you are. Ladies, move one person counterclockwise in the circle. You're trading partners. Here we go again." And we went, and we tried trading partners all the way around until we finally came back. We found out how much in sync and how much out of sync you can be. And I got compliments. Fuge got compliments. We heard how much better we were than other people.
You're reminding me of my salsa class, man. I got tons of compliments, and there were some women I liked to dance with better than others.
Yes. And what it comes down to is learning to read each other, learning how to be there, how to guide each other. Because even in a relationship like a dom-sub relationship, it is mutual. You're working together. And any good relationship, marriage or whatever, it should be built on the idea of together becoming a better unit than either one of you could have been individually. The sum of the parts is greater than the parts themselves. It's an interesting tight walk between being yourself and being part of the unit. And it's easy to fall into the idea that somebody is doing something that you want to be part of. You want to be part of every part of them. But that just stifles. You need to have separate pieces. It's okay to not share pieces because it doesn't interest. But at least being aware, knowing each other, and growing together. That's the pieces. And there's no magic word, and there's no magical wave of the fingers to make that happen. There's no way of knowing who that one person is. Or even for you, if there is a singular person, it could be that there are several. And it doesn't matter what gender or what sex they happen to be. And yes, those are separate pieces. But when all is said and done, it should be somebody that you enjoy the company of and who enjoys yours and respects. Are you going to meet that one person? I don't know. Did I meet my one? I think that I did. Do I think that there's another one out there for me or for any of us out there? There's 6-7 billion people on this rock. Yeah. The stats say, yes, there is somebody else out there. Do I know who that is? No. But as always, I can hope that one day we're all able to have what I was lucky enough to share. So now that we've gone well over time, as always, Joe, thank you for your yeoman's effort, man. And on behalf of the entirety of the panel, our best wishes and hopes. And you take good care of yourself, man.
I'm doing all right. Kind of keeping everybody else level. Three things, though. One, something that I've heard you tell me and oh, many others, many a time, folks never settle. Never settle. You'll know when you know, I'm sure Shujin will clarify, but yep. Oh, there goes my webcam. You'll know when you're there, when it's right, and don't try to settle in between. Second, Beatles were right, and all you need is love. And third, there's nothing more powerful in the world than love, or there's nothing greater in the world than love. Except maybe a mutton lettuce tomato when they slice the mutton real thin and the lettuce is nice and perky. I love that.
Some days.
Very much so.
I thought it was when the mutton was nice and lean.
Close enough. Deck, of course, as always, thank you very much and you have yourself a good night.
Yep. And a quick disclaimer for the public, I am not a licensed therapist, I am not a licensed teacher, or anything else like that. I can only relay information based upon my own experiences, what I've heard, what I've learned, and what I've seen. If somebody follows my advice and their life goes to crap, well, you know where to file a complaint, but please don't sue me. I really don't have any money.
Well, then why the hell am I laying on this sofa?
I don't know. Last time I checked, you couldn't smoke in the counselor's room.
How much are you charging? How much are you charging per hour again?
Nothing.
And here I was waiting for the German accent of Dr. Freud somewhere.
But no, the truth is, folks, is I would honestly recommend for anybody who hasn't done it yet, who has graduated high school, they're out of high school, whether they graduated or otherwise. Go to your local college, one of your community colleges, and take Interpersonal Communications 101. Even if that's the only course you ever take at a college. Because it will help you not only in your everyday dealings with your family or your friends, it'll help you in business, it'll help you in a lot of different ways that you, anytime you have a human interaction, it'll help. Because I know a lot more now than I used to, thanks to courses like that.
Good.
So, yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Okay. And Dallin, of course, thank you very much from staying with us and talking to us from the past, by the way. Thank you.
Well, pleasure to be here. I guess I could leave on one piece of advice that my brother gave me at my wedding reception. He said in his toast to the groom that marriage is supposedly, they say, it's like a hot tub. It starts off very hot and steamy. But it eventually goes lukewarm to tepid to sort of room temperature after a while. And he looked at me and he says, "Don't you believe it. When you're married, you're always in hot water."
And hey, you also nice. Have to be careful with those hot tubs because you never know when a bacterial infection is right around the corner.
Yeah, let's... You know, we were talking about funny things earlier. Yeah, let's just not go there. I guess the other thing I would say is if you're watching this and you've experienced a bad breakup or you've been through a divorce or something like that, do not, whatever you do, think that it is the end of the world. I believed that for about a year after I was alone. And let's just say my happy ending hit me upside my head without me even really knowing it.
Get that long?
I wasn't looking. I wasn't expecting. Just all of a sudden, bang, and screw you, Tech. Here I am trying to give sage advice, and he's heckling.
I could help it.
Thank you, Mr.
Just remember, don't marry somebody in hopes to change them. and don't marry them in hopes that they'll never change. Humans are constantly changing every time they go to sleep and wake up. And, you know, if you're hoping to change them into something that you want them to be, then, yeah, it's not going to happen either. They're going to change in ways that you can't predict.
True enough. Relationships are always fluid, and how you navigate those waters is what determines if you're going to have a good or bad relationship.
You guys have any words of wisdom about nice guys?
Not off the top of my head, but...
Nice guys may finish last, but damn, we finish in style. I will say that much.
For my last piece for you. The times when you need to be there, be there. The times when the chips are down, be there. The times you don't want to be there, you be there. As stupid as it's going to sound, Mufasa said it best. Bravery is not going out and doing. It's being there when you're too scared to do anything else. I'm paraphrasing, I know, but be brave in your relationship. Help. And enjoy it. If you've made it this far, of course, we greatly appreciate it. We know that this is not a sexy podcast, and it's not ultimately one of the funniest. I'd like to think that we have something worthwhile for folks that want to talk about and discuss these topics. We'll definitely see about coming back through this another time, talk about a different aspect of it, of course. If you'd like to ask questions of us, if you'd like to give us ideas, topics for a future, please by all means send me an email over at shujintribble@gmail.com, and I can see what I can do about that. I haven't had the opportunity of really checking out the Google Voice system. I will be getting that now that I've got some time. I'll see about getting that finally ready for us, so we'll be able to see about calls, possibly live, possibly just voicemails, but we'll see what happens. In the meantime, we will just go ahead and say thank you, Joe. You're okay now? Hi.
We see you.
Had to make a quick run. Sorry about that.
Not a worry.
Well, see, that's why you finish off the bottle. That way you can reuse it.
Yes, and we will talk about that also another time, because there's something that we saw recently that I blew and I loved. Meantime, as always, everybody, of course, again, thank you very much for your time and your patience, and hope that you've found something worthwhile in all this. As always, I wish you all the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. On behalf of the crew, stay safe. We will see you guys hopefully next week. And of course, as always, after saying goodnight for all of you, I say goodnight for my lady too. Because 9 years on, I am still in love. Matane Fujin, I love you. I miss you. Happy 21st anniversary. Until the next time we get together, everyone, as always. Good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.